Hey everyone, welcome back to Taking Stock. It has been a while. I apologize, or maybe I'll say you're welcome for those who needed a break. But in all seriousness, it has been a bit, and I am super excited to be back, not just for this podcast, but also for a lot of conversations that we have coming up on Taking Stock in the coming weeks. For today, I am very excited to welcome Eileen George. Eileen has been with Clarkston for over 20 years. She is as much of a guru in the industry as it relates to organizational change management as anyone. So she's got wonderful ideas and thoughts and insights that she's going to share with us all around driving transformation, driving alignment across leadership, helping drive advocacy, and driving change champions as we are working towards successful system deployments. So thank you for listening. I think you'll really enjoy Eileen, and we'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks. Hey, Eileen, welcome to Taking Stock. How are you?
I am great, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's so awesome to chat with you on this platform because you have been a huge fan of the Taking Stock podcast from the early days. So I appreciate you you being a great listener. And super happy that we're finally able to get you to join and share your wisdom.
I am so excited to talk to you. This is going to be fun.
And you are chatting with us. So when we were on a call a few minutes ago for everyone, Eileen had a picture of a cactus from her backyard or from your driveway, right? You said?
Right, off to the side of my driveway, yeah.
Like massive 12-foot cactus. We figured like 120 years old or so, right?
Right, and it was blooming. And the sun was setting behind it. It was just so gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Just as nice as the view outside my window here in New Jersey.
Of course.
Maybe. Of course. Absolutely. So thank you again for finally joining us. And I want both an opportunity for me to get to know you a little bit better, but more importantly for our listeners to get to know you a little bit better. So share a little bit about you, who you are, when you joined Clarkston, your background, anything you want to share with the audience will be awesome.
So who am I? You know, I think I'm still trying to figure that out.
Yeah, tell me about it. You and me both.
I change over the years, but and that's what it's all about, right? I started with Clarkston many moons ago in the role of an information architect or user experience designer. So at the time, I've been designing interfaces for applications with the goal basically of helping end users successfully navigate to the information that they needed. And this also included creating relevant documentation to train folks too. So back in 1999, the previous century, previous millennium, I joined Clarkston because they were looking for experts who could help clients in building successful e-commerce solutions way back then. And for me, at that time, my passion was building beautiful, useful websites. So I joined Clarkston, time went on, everything was wonderful. And I had an opportunity, a growth opportunity, where I was involved on an SAP project. And it quickly became very apparent that modifying the software interface was not an option. That's completely off the table. So the question was, how can I approach helping people adopt this new system and ways of working when I can't change that visual piece of it? And in doing my due diligence, I remember this is back in the early 2000s, I ran across a number of approaches for change management like John Cotter and Kurt Levin and William Bridges. And in fact, by 2007, SAP Press had a book out called Managing Organizational Change During SAP Implementations. Who'd have thunk? And it was all with an eye towards enabling successful change for these big transformative projects. So it became apparent to me that this is way beyond user interfaces. It was another dimension of looking at and affecting the journey that a person took when they were going from a current state to a future state. So for me, I still had that desire to make beautiful, useful things, but the key thing was useful. How do I help folks to be aware of or learn or understand or be able to do these new things successfully? because that's really how a business is going to achieve the benefits they're chasing after on an initiative or a project. It involves people doing things differently.
Yeah, it's a fascinating answer, and I would want to go back to something you said at the very early part of that answer. And it's maybe a little bit philosophical, but you mentioned that you are changing. We're all changing. We're humans. We're creatures. We change. We evolve. When you're thinking about whether it's a process change or a system change, like you referenced through SAP, how do you get the mindset as an end user to adapt? And is there, in your experience, do you find that certain people just have a natural tendency and a willingness to change and adapt versus those who maybe are a little bit more fixed in their mindset, and it's going to be harder to drive change with those folks?
It can be, but I don't think that's the only piece of the puzzle. It also depends on where they are in life at that moment in time. Are they particularly challenged because they're in the middle of a move or a divorce or getting married?
Yeah.
Are they having some other challenges in life at the time? So I think it all goes together. Definitely the fixed mindset and growth mindset are a factor. But it comes down to understanding what's in it for them, what's meaningful to them, what's important for them, and tying that to what they will get out of the system or the new process, whatever it is. But you have to talk to people for that. And all those things are all parts of the puzzle that you have to work with.
Yeah.
But I would say really a big part of change management is talking to people, trying to understand them.
Yeah. And I think part of from when you and I have worked together and from conversations that we've had, I think as much as anything rooted in your background is your desire to help people, right? Your desire to want to help people be successful. And with a focus on the end user mindset, right? So if we're thinking about a system deployment, obviously companies are going to be deploying a variety of systems, whether it be SAP or otherwise, to achieve business results. But your mindset is think about it from the end user's perspective. What is the change that they're going through? What is the benefit that they might potentially realize? So talk a little bit more. I know you just alluded to it, but why focusing on end users is so important, and how you look at projects from their point of view.
So much rides on user adoption. That's what it's all about. And the way that you reach them is you talk to them, understand their world, their business world, their challenges, their frustrations, their joys, their achievements, to more clearly be able to tie the future benefits to the things that matter to them. And then you connect the dots between what's important to them and what's in it for them. So maybe this new process will make their life easier or free up time for them to do more value-added activities or things that they've always wanted to do but just didn't have time. Or maybe there's some growth opportunities there, some new skills to master, some new leadership opportunities. Now, in that case, in those kinds of situations, you probably are now thinking, well, you need leadership involved there if we're talking about people's careers and opportunities.
Sure.
Absolutely. They need to be aware ahead of time how those changes are going to affect people and think through what do those opportunities look like. And that's where you can get creative. But it all comes back to leadership, too, talking to their folks and understanding where they are and where they want to go.
Yeah. And to me, it's interesting you bring up leadership because in my experience, not nearly as vast as yours, but as it relates to change management and kind of transformational initiatives, often where I see the biggest challenge that companies face is a lack of alignment across leadership. And that could be cross-functional leadership and understanding what is the value that we're trying to achieve with this transformational initiative, but then also kind of pushing it down. How are we communicating? How are we incenting? How are we getting people on the same page? So talk a little bit more about kind of leadership, some of what you've seen in the past, and how do you drive that executive sponsorship that's so critical to success?
It's a beautiful thing when you have active, visible leadership and they're all aligned. It's a wonderful thing. Doesn't happen that often, but it's a great thing when it does. And in fact, that lack of leadership support is one of the leading reasons why either a change management effort or a project fails if you don't have that there. Now, while it's not a guarantee of success, without it, your efforts are pretty much going to fail. But besides being active and visible in their support, people are looking at leadership behavior to understand how important is this initiative. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy for leaders to forget that, or maybe some of them to forget that, what they're doing and how they're showing up in different ways, what they're speaking to, what they're appearing at. Do they show up at the meetings, and how they communicate their support of it? Don't lose sight of the fact that you are being intensely watched, you know, as much as any celebrity would be. And then your actions are being evaluated for consistency. Knowing that and what the goals are for the business, why you even have this project or initiative, if you want to achieve those benefits, you're going to have to bring people along on the journey with you, and speaking consistently and inspirationally or aspirationally towards the vision of what you all are mm-hmm. trying to accomplish together.
Yeah. And I love the, you know, the term vision and goals. I've always thought about looking at, and I know you think the same way, looking at a project through the lens of, we talked about the end user and we talked about the business goals as well. And I think leadership's ability to understand the kind of overall business goals, but then disseminate them down to the individual user, and knowing that there's no kind of one size fits all approach, right? Individual users, based upon some of what we talked about earlier, their desire and appetite for change, their willingness to adapt, the particular function they might be working in, you have to develop change strategies that are very customized based upon that function, that end user, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Each company has its own fingerprint. Even though they might be in the same type of business, the people there are different. The culture may be different. So it absolutely has to be customized. I want to go back and talk about people being willing to change. I think it's easy, and I've seen this happen, where we jump to some conclusions that it's just bad behavior for why people are resistant to making a change or aren't following a process. Like, people don't fill out this form, or that they don't follow the steps in this process, and they assume it's just bad behavior, when a closer examination might reveal that people would love to fill out that form. They just can't find it when they need it, or they get an error when they're trying to fill it out online, or some other glitch that prevents them from following through. So without really examining or talking to folks a little bit more broadly about the situation to understand what's really going on, I think what I've seen is you can totally misdiagnose the situation and simply address a symptom rather than a cause, and it can really lead you astray. And I'm a firm believer, and I could be tragically incorrect here, that the majority of people, they don't show up to work thinking, how can I make life difficult for others today? Or how can I mess up my company today? I really don't think that that happens.
You're less cynical than I am, I suppose.
I have to be able to believe this.
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that your role and your experiences through your career, and part of what makes you so unique, is your understanding of that, and your ability to connect with, you know, individuals on that personal level and be able to understand what motivates them. And I think the more that organizations are able to do that, they're going to be able to drive change more effectively. There is, I have somewhat of a beginner's mind as I think through things, but when I think about, let's just say that there are 100 end users that were deploying a system, and those are the key users in the system, I have a kind of propensity to say, okay, I'm going to divide them into advocates and dissenters, right? And so talk a little bit about how do you leverage and champion advocacy, and then we'll get to the dissenter piece in a second. But like, let's talk about the advocacy first. How do you identify those advocates? How do you bring them on board and ensure that they are the voice of change and helping drive kind of that change forward throughout the organization?
Well, your advocates could very well be your future leaders. I would definitely mm-hmm. keep them in mind to groom them in that direction. Embrace their efforts. They're going to step forward. There are going to be those individuals, luckily or hopefully, in places of influence where they champion the effort, whatever the initiative is. Embrace those efforts. Coach them when you need to. Treat them well and recognize them publicly for their efforts in supporting end users and their change journeys. You know, the video that where I think you can Google this. If you Google leadership lessons from the dancing guy, being that first follower, that first follower principle, and courageously following and then showing others how to follow, that's an underappreciated form of leadership, really. And you need to recognize that and encourage it and help it grow in others.
I love that video. It freaked me out the first time I saw it. it's a fantastic video. But you're right, that first follower is absolutely critical. And sometimes then you see that kind of power of three and things just kind of, you know,
snowball
down the hill.
Yeah.
Okay, let's talk about the other side, which is often perhaps the biggest challenge. And like you said, maybe they're not coming to work and saying, I want to make life difficult today. But it's having, and there might be a multitude of reasons as to why people might detract. Maybe they don't agree with the vision of the system. Maybe they see it as a challenge to them and their business going forward in their day to day. But how do you identify detractors up front? And then how do you get them on board? Because what I've seen in my experience is that if you are able to shift a detractor to an advocate, they're the biggest champion you have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the detractors are even more interesting. There's usually a reason, a really good reason why someone is behaving that way. So the first step is to understand that, listen, really listen and talk to them. And it could be something intensely personal that they aren't comfortable, discussing. And there are other approaches to address that, but just talking to them, in some cases, it might just be that they want to be listened to and heard. So the biggest first step there for me is talking to folks, listening. And sometimes it's just listening in a meeting and you're picking up on these signals to understand where they're coming from. It could be obvious, like you said, but sometimes it's not so obvious. And don't assume. It could be really hard to uncover the root problem if it goes intensely deeply. In fact, there's an interesting book by Robert Kagan and Lisa Leahy called Immunity to Change that delves into these deep-rooted reasons why people are resistant to change and how to address that. But talking to folks, really understanding and exploring where they're coming from is going to get you part of the way there. And then you need to start exploring options of how you can tie what's in it for them. Again, it comes down to why should they be an advocate? Are there plans for them? If they're afraid of losing their job, are there plans for them to either take on another role or upskill them for the role that they need to be in? Is it a matter of assuring them that they have a role to fill, and that you'll figure it out together how that role will play out and evolve, and tie it basically back what's in it for them? And as you said, I think once you win them over, they can be incredibly powerful as an advocate. But it comes down to listening and understanding where they're coming from and how you can meet them where they are and show a path forward.
One of my frustrations as we approach different project implementations is this somewhere along the line, like, change management and training got lumped together. And that is a sore point for me because they're two very, very different things. Training, you could argue, is a point in time activity and it's a means to support change management. Change management is so much bigger. And as it relates to the dissenters, I find in my experience, you've got from day one, if you're involving people, and making sure that people's voices are being heard, making sure that they've got a sense of ownership and kind of the how and why we're going to be deploying, you are going to create advocacy along the way, but it has to start up front. It can't be just, okay, we've deployed the system, right? And here it is, you know, use it, right? It doesn't work that way.
Yes. And you've touched a sore spot for me too, that frequently it's misunderstood. That is, just put together some training materials, maybe put a newsletter out there and good, we're done. And it doesn't work that way. It really doesn't work that way. There's so much that has to be done before you get to training, even to get people to show up to training. There are so many things that need to happen before that. So training is one pillar, but it's one part of an overall strategy for change management.
Yeah. I couldn't agree more. And I also, and this is we could get off on a massive tangent, but I also believe that companies think of training, like I said, as a point in time activity, and they often stop when you go live.
Exactly.
But you need to continue to develop. You need to have what we're talking is a sustainable learning and development strategy where you're continually investing, right? As the capability of a system grows as the capability of the individual user grows, and you need to continually be kind of developing people as the data gets better, as the again, the system capabilities get stronger. We need to make sure that we're continually investing in people.
Absolutely. And at the risk of going too far down this path,
Yeah.
that word training, I think, and you use the word, the term learning and development. I think learning and development is a better term to use as opposed to training, because it isn't just a one-shot thing. And in some cases, people don't like to sit through hours of classroom training anymore, as the research has shown that. And it is more of a coaching kind of an effort here, that learning and development. So I almost want to move away from the word, that particular word, but we'll see what
Yeah.
happens.
So I'm going to challenge you here to take a step back over your wonderful career at Clarkston and the different, if you had to somehow capture what is the kind of ultimate key to success for companies to consider, kind of your elevator pitch in terms of what that looks like around OCM, what would that include?
So the keys to success in change management?
Yeah,
Okay.
but according to you. Like this is like as personal and as much of an Eileen stamp as it could have. What would that look like?
Okay, so here's my diabolical answer.
I love
Number one, have active and visible executive leadership and sponsorship. That's table stakes. Number two, use a structured approach, a methodology, and there's a bunch out there to holistically address the situation. So, because this gives you the ability to be proactive in what you're doing, have a framework in place. But those plans also need to be able to flex a lot because you need to do course corrections along the way. Three, very important, understand that change doesn't happen overnight. It's not like flipping a switch and saying, I shall change by noon, May 5th. It doesn't work that way. People's journeys have ups and downs, they move forward, they move backwards. And depending on where they are, professionally and personally, you need to keep that in mind and understand that and be sensitive to that. I'm overly sensitive though. Last one, celebrate the wins, big and small. Big celebrations are great, but it's the recognition of those little wins that hold things together. It's kind of like sewing a garment. You could have a few big stitches that really stand out and they're very colorful. Or you could have a lot of smaller stitches that, while they're not as flashy, they hold the cloth together with more strength. So do a little bit of both.
Yeah, I love it. And to your point around kind of flexing, one of the things like whether a deployment these days is 6 months, 9 months, year long, 18 months, the pace of change is so great in the industries that we serve. You could have mergers, acquisitions, divestitures, all taking place during a system deployment. All right, so being able to flex, you could double your end user base. You could have your end user base cut in half. There are so many different things that can happen over the course of implementation. Corporate strategy could shift, right? And the willingness and the ability to adapt and flex is critical to success.
It's like a giant obstacle course.
I love it. Thank you very much, Eileen, for sharing your wisdom with our listeners. I thoroughly enjoy catching up. Your soothing voice is just wonderful to listen to, as we jokingly were talking about prior to. But thank you very, very much. I appreciate you taking the time to chat with us.
Thank you. This has been a pleasure.
Without a doubt, we'll talk soon. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our latest edition of Taking Stock. Thank you, Eileen, for joining and sharing your words of wisdom with us. And thank you all for listening. Great discussion. I really am passionate about the idea of sustainable learning and development. I know we hit upon it at the end of the conversation. We just touched upon it. But I do believe that that is a critical enabler of success. I think the sooner that organizations are able to think about training less as a point in time activity and more as a continual investment in our people, that we are continually investing and helping our people grow and develop and drive business value for the organization and, more importantly, for themselves. So thank you again for listening. Looking forward to a lot of great topics coming up here in the next few weeks. Appreciate your continued patronage, and we'll all talk soon. Have a great day.